2 of The Day a Spaceship Landed in Hammersmith. It is early evening of the same day. Tom and Helen have just returned home after their picnic, unaware of the police squad car parked at the curb a few feet ahead.
Well, here we are.
Thank you, Tom. It was a wonderful day.
You still haven't answered my question.
Oh, you know how I feel, Tom. But I still want time to think it over.
So I can't go into work tomorrow and tell the boss that I'm getting married and acquiring 2 dependents?
You're a good salesman.
Good salesman wouldn't give you time to think about it.
Good night.
Didn't you forget something? Now, good night.
Good night. Mr. Rock?
Hi, Mum.
Not in bed yet?
This is Sergeant Brady.
How do you do?
I have to pop out with Sergeant Brady.
At this late hour? Did you have a nice day, Patsy?
We had a great time, didn't we, Mr. Rock?
I certainly did.
We went to Whitehall and the movies, and I showed Mr. Rock where you worked.
I don't know how to thank you.
It was nothing. I enjoyed every minute of it.
We better get going.
Good night, Patsy. Helen.
Good night.
Nice meeting you, Mrs. Benson.
Thank you.
Is Sergeant Brady going to take Mr. Rook to the police station?
Why would he want to do that? Now it's late. Off to bed. You've had a busy day.
It was great. We went all over London and we went to see Professor Barnhart.
Professor Barnhart?
Mr. Rook wanted to talk to him, but he wasn't in.
Why would Mr. Rock want to talk to Professor Barnhart? Bed. Now.
Is this the man you wanted to see, Professor Barnhart?
Oh, thank you, Sergeant Brady. If I may speak to Mr. Rourke alone, please.
I'll wait outside, Professor.
You are Mr. Rourke?
Yes, Professor.
Who wrote those equations on my blackboard?
My clumsy way of introducing myself.
Please accept my apologies for the manner in which you were picked up. Hilda called the police before I saw your annotations on the board.
I appreciate the need for security, Professor.
I have not quite fathomed the problem, even with your remarkable assistance, Mr. Rourke.
Well, let's look at it, sir. All you have to do now is substitute this expression at this point.
Yes, that will reproduce the first order term, but what about the effect of the other terms?
Negligible. With variations of parameters, this is the answer.
How can you be so sure? Have you tested this theory?
I find it works well enough to get me from one planet to another.
Interplanetary travel, I see. I presume that Rourke is not your real name.
I spent 2 days at your Charing Cross Hospital. You will understand now why I had to get out. However, if you're not interested, or if you intend to turn me over to the army, we needn't waste any more time.
What is written on this blackboard is clear enough indication of why you have come, and more importantly, why you should be taken seriously. Excuse me one moment. Sergeant Brady, you must go now. Please thank Inspector Cutler for his concern. Tell him that I know this gentleman. So much for that, Rourke. Now please sit down.
You have faith, Professor.
I don't know about that. I do know that I should have several thousand questions to ask you.
I would like to explain my mission here.
That was my first question.
It was my hope to explain my equation to the heads of the nations of the world. We know from scientific observation that your planet is overheating due to the lifestyles of the people on this planet.
Overconsumption is a real problem.
I warn you that your planet faces danger. It won't just become inhabitable. You have no idea of the harmful effects of this overheating are. Plastics polluting the ocean will be the least of your problems. The Earth could explode into a fireball. What I have to say must be said to all concerned. I come to you as a last resort.
Then you have come at the right time. We are holding an international conference on climate change tomorrow. There are many eminent climate change scientists in town. You must explain your mission to them, and they in turn could present it to their various governments. One thing though, suppose this group should reject your proposal. What is the alternative?
There is no alternative, Professor. If you do not change your plans, the planet Earth will have to be eliminated.
Why?
A planet on fire hurtling through the solar system could cause all sorts of damage to any other planet that got in its way.
But who has the power to eliminate the Earth?
A power exists in another galaxy. The galaxy that I have come from.
I believe you, supposing they don't.
Then I will show them a sign.
Something that would affect the entire planet?
At midday tomorrow. A little demonstration to show we mean business.
Then I awake tomorrow at noon with interest.
You're going out again, Helen?
Just popping out to see Tom. He sounded jittery on the phone. Like everyone, he has been affected by all this spaceman stuff.
You and Patsy are the only people I know who aren't jittery about the spaceman.
Good. I have tried to teach her not to prejudge people. Mr. Rock, this is none of my business, but what did Sergeant Brady want?
Patsy may have told you that I went to Professor Barnhart's office, but he wasn't in. Apparently they thought I was looking for secrets of some kind.
Oh, that must be Tom now.
Hello, Tom. You're back again. Helen.
What's so important that we have to go out again?
Film starts at 8:50 on the dot, Helen.
I was just talking to Mr. Rock.
I'm sure that Mr. Rock would be thinking I'm intruding.
Excuse me, I was just going up to my room. Good night.
Tom, that sounded awful.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm just tired of hearing about Mr. Rock. Mr. Rock.
Shh.
I don't like the way he's attached himself to you, Patsy. After all, what do you know about him?
Very little, it's true. Maybe I am more trusting than you.
That's all there is to it, Patsy, my boy. All you have to remember is first find the common denominator, then subtract.
Thanks a lot for helping me with my homework.
Good night, Patsy.
I'm popping out at Tom, Patsy. You go to bed as soon as Granny tells you.
Promise.
Patsy, I think it would be better if you didn't see quite so much of Mr. Rock.
Why? I like him, and he's good at arithmetic. He even helped Professor Barnhart.
I'm sure he's a very nice man. I just think he might
what?
He's probably come to London for a reason. We mustn't take up his time and prevent him doing what he needs to do. Okay, don't forget to brush your teeth.
Come in. Patsy, do you have a flashlight I might borrow for tonight?
There's one in my bag.
Thanks.
Why do you want it?
The lights in my room went out. I can't see a thing and I have work to do. See you tomorrow.
Oh no, I forgot to tell Mr. Rook that a torch needs new batteries.
Patsy opened his bedroom door. What he saw down the hallway puzzled him. Mr. Rourke's door was ajar, and light was pouring out of his room.
I thought he said that his light was broken.
The next thing that Patsy saw was Mr. Rourke carrying the flashlight and stealing down the stairs. Outside, the darkness was broken by staccatoed flashes from his own flashlight. Flashes that were so strong that the moment the beams hit giant robot, it became reactivated. Next thing, the guards had fallen onto the ground. Patsy couldn't believe his eyes. What on earth would happen next? The army had built a hut around the spaceship. Was Mr. Rourke going to go into the spaceship? He was. Patsy got scared. He couldn't bear to see Mr. Rourke get shot. She turned and ran wildly away all the way home. When his mother returned at midnight, Patsy was there to meet her.
Mum! Patsy! What are you doing down here at this hour, fully dressed?
I need to tell you something.
Tell me what?
What's the matter, Patsy?
I followed Mr. Rourke tonight, right after you left. And gee, where do you think he went? Right to the spaceship.
I think someone has been dreaming.
Honest, Mum, I saw him. They got a shed built around the spaceship so nobody can get into it. But Mr. Rourke flashed a signal. That Iron Man got up there, and then what do you think?
Patsy, have you been dreaming again?
No, Mum, honest, I haven't. I promise you, I saw it.
Where did you see all of this?
In Ravenscourt Park. In that place where the soldiers are out at the front.
So where were the soldiers all this time?
Well, that robot fella grabbed him and knocked him about.
Oh, Patsy, you have such an imagination.
But, Mum, you've got to believe me. Mr. Rourke, right, walked into the shed and the spaceship opened up. And he walked right inside and closed it again. I like Mr. Rourke, but I'm scared, Mum.
Darling, it was just a bad dream. We'll prove it to you. Tom, will you see if Mr. Rourke is still up? Ask him to come down here a minute.
Helen!
Yes, Tom?
Helen, he's not here. Look what I found on the carpet.
That's not a real diamond, is it?
No, it looks real to me.
He gave you these?
Well, not exactly. I gave him the £20 note Tom gave me for the pictures, and he gave me those.
What sort of person takes a £20 note from a child? There is something about this whole thing that makes me just... doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. Look, Helen, do you think it's all right for you to stay here?
There's a strong lock on my door. And Patsy's going to sleep in my room tonight.
Mum!
Upstairs, nightmare child.
It wasn't a nightmare.
Patsy, why are your shoes soaking wet?
The grass in the park was wet. Night.
Oh, Tom, what if he was in the park?
True to his promise to the professor, Rourke arranged his little demonstration for midday. At 11:58 on the second floor of the King's College building, Helen was waiting for the lift to arrive.
Helen!
Mr. Rourke, what are you doing here?
I came to see you.
I'm just going to lunch.
I saw Patsy this morning before he went to school. I want to know what he told you.
Patsy has such an active imagination.
So he did say something. Did you believe him?
Please, Mr. Rourke, it's coming up to 12 and I have to get back to my desk for 12:30.
Mind if I come down with you?
You don't need a pass to use a lift. You have to press the button, Mr. Rourke.
Oh, yes, yes.
It was just 5 seconds before noon of that fateful day when Helen Benson and Mr. Rourke stepped into the lift. Below, the traffic thundered in the busy streets. Five seconds to noon, 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1, 0. High noon, and all over the world, the traffic stopped dead in a million streets. All across the powered world, the machines failed as the power was cut, the only exception being planes in the air and emergency equipment in the hospital. Kettles wouldn't boil, and toasters failed to pop, and the world went dark as electric lights went out. At a conference table in Feltham, West London, a hasty council of the armed services was held.
Thank you. As far as we can tell, all electric power has been cut off all over, with few exceptions. And even these exceptions are remarkable. Hospitals, planes in flight, that sort of thing. I wish I could be more specific, but all communications are out. I can tell you that we are preparing to declare a state of national emergency. But before we start discussing plans, I want to report from Colonel Ryder, commander of the operation.
All I can report, General, is that the robot at the spaceship was discovered to have moved last night. It knocked unconscious the two soldiers guarding the entrance to the shed the army engineers had built around the spaceship, indicating that someone, Presumably the spaceman had wanted to get into the ship for one reason or another.
In all likelihood, to signal for this demonstration of his planet's power. Go on, Colonel.
Well, that's all, sir.
Well, until now, we've agreed on the desirability of capturing this space person alive. But circumstances have changed, and we can no longer afford to be soft in this matter. We will get him alive, if possible, but we must get him. Is that clear? Dead or alive, get him!
All over the world, electric power was neutralised on the stroke of noon, as a token of the space person's power and as a warning to the Earth. It was while they were trapped between floors in the lift that Mr. Rourke told Helen about his real identity and the mission to Earth.
I've already told you more than I told Professor Barnard, because my life, in a sense, is in your hands. But if I die, a world, your world, may die too.
Yes, I understand.
I thought if you knew the facts, you'd appreciate the importance of not being caught before the meeting tonight with the world's scientists.
You hold great hope for this meeting, don't you?
I can see no other hope for your planet. If the meeting should fail, then I'm afraid there's no hope.
The lights have come on. We're moving.
It must be 12:30.
How do you know this? Where are you going now?
Back to your mother's. I'll be safe there for the afternoon. I'll be able to keep an eye on Patsy. He's the only other person who knows about me.
No, wait a minute. There's someone else.
How? There can't be.
Tom, he was with me last night when Patsy told me what he saw.
Then you must get in touch with him now.
Hello? Hello? Come on, someone, answer, please. Hello, Tom. Tom's in the meeting? But I need to speak to him now. Well, when do you expect him in, then? Well, will you tell him I called? Helen Tierney, yes, and please, not to leave his office. I'm coming down to see him.
Kathy, this is Tom Stevens. Call military intelligence and find out who's in charge of this spaceman business. Whoever it is, I want to talk to him. Do you get that?
Tom!
Call me right back and don't take any other calls. You got that?
Tom, I've been trying to get you all afternoon.
Me too. Guess what I found out about Rourke?
What about him?
He's the man from the spaceship. I had that diamond, or wherever it was, checked at 3 different places. Nobody on Earth's ever seen anything like it. And after what Patsy told us, that's enough for me. Why, if nobody knows about this Mrs. Rourke, why hasn't he got any money?
All right, Tom, it's true.
How do you know?
You've just got to promise me you won't say a word to anybody.
Nobody, but military intelligence.
You haven't.
After what happened yesterday, of course I have. He's a menace.
You don't understand. You don't realise how important this is.
Important? Of course it's important. We can do something about it.
We mustn't do anything about it, Tom. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about.
I say he's dangerous. It's our duty to turn him in.
He isn't dangerous. He isn't a menace. He told me what he came for.
Do you realise what this will mean for us? I'll be the biggest salesman in the country. I'll write my own ticket. You can't ruin things like that for us now.
What are you planning?
Listen, somebody's got to get rid of him.
Tom, I'm not going to let you do it. Tom, don't do it.
Hello, Kathy. Yeah, General Cutler. Good, I'll hold on.
You don't know what you're doing. This isn't about you and Mr. Rourke. It's everybody. The rest of the world is involved.
I don't give a hang about the rest of the world. I'm in this for me. Now, you'll feel different when you see my picture in the papers. Well, you'll see. You're going to marry a hero.
I'm not going to marry anybody. You're not even a hero.
What does that mean? Oh, hello. General Cutler. Oh, General, my name is Tom Stevens with a V. I have positive information about the spaceman and where he's staying. Right. Yeah. Yeah, of course, I'm sure. He's staying at Mrs. Tierney's Bed and Breakfast, 46 Goldhawk Road. That's correct, General.
Yes, I have all of it now, Mr. Stevens, and thank you very much indeed. I want to talk to you further, but I haven't time now. We want to act on this.
Yes, sir?
Have Colonel Ryder deploy all Zone 5 units according to Plan B immediately. Investigate area around 46 Goldhawk Road, W12, for spaceman.
Mr. Rock.
Did you get to talk to Tom?
I was too late. Quick, I've got a taxi outside.
Attention, Zone 5. Attention, Zone 5. Man and woman observed entering taxi outside 46 Goldhawk Road, W12. Man is probably Rock, alias Clatow. Establish roadblocks according to Plan Baker and maintain station. Remain on radio alert until further orders.
I think someone's just seen us getting into the taxi.
Where is it safe for you to go?
Barnard can arrange to hide me until the meeting tonight.
Where is it going
to
be?
At the ship.
Look at the amount of troops they have drafted in.
If only they'd listen to me, they wouldn't be so terrified.
It's only a few more blocks to Professor Barnard's.
I'm worried about Gott, my robot. I'm afraid of what he might do if anything should happen to me.
Robots can't think for themselves.
You don't think Gott is a product of centuries of refinement?
What could he do without you?
Anything. He could destroy the Earth if he thinks someone will harm me.
The streets are swarming with police cars. How can we get a message to him?
Listen, if anything happens to me, you must go to Gott. You must give him this message. Clatow Barada Nikto. Gott Clatow Barada Nikto. Say it.
Gort Clatow Barada
Nikto.
Gort Clatow Barada Nikto. Clatow Barada Nikto.
Remember those words.
Clatow Barada Nikto.
Attention, Zone 5. Taxicab moving west on Goldhawk Road towards Turnham Green. Man and woman in back seat. License number H0012H0012. Section 2, close in. This is your target vehicle.
We're hemmed in. Driver, we'll get out of here. I'm going to run for it. If they get me, you get to God. Now!
There he is! Stop or we'll shoot! Stop or we'll fire!
Mr. Rock! Oh, God. No.
For God's sake.
Get to God! Run!
Never mind her. Check the guy.
Clatow Barada Nikto. Clatow Barada Nikto. Clatow Barada
Nikto. Centuries, ages of superhuman, superplanetary skill had bred intuition and a dim power of reason into this enormously complex intelligence inside Gort's mental brain case. When Helen Tierney stumbled up to the shed that housed the space machine, the guards were not there. Then she saw them. They were lying inside. Their rifles fused and bent. Gort was already on the move. He was on the move towards Helen.
No! No! Gort! No!
The visor of his helmet was opening on that cosmic incandescence within, seething with world ruin, aiming impassively at Helen.
Gort! Gort! Clatow, Clatow, Barada... Barada Nikto.
Helen Benson fainted.
When she returned to consciousness, Helen was lying on a day bathed in a soft, shadowless light in a chamber vaguely circular, of completely unfamiliar build. She was in the space machine. Across the room stood Gort, with his back to her, and lying in front of him on a platform was Rourke.
Mr. Rourke, are you okay?
Gort, the machine, the automation, was applying electrodes to his master, and a piercing, whining, maddening sound filled the ship. Rourke moved up. He sat up, stood up.
Mr. Rourke.
Hello.
I thought you were...
I was. They took me to an emergency hospital at the city jail. Guard broke in and he took me back here. This technique can restore life, in some cases, only for a limited time.
How long?
No one can tell. Time enough and more for me to go outside and speak to Professor Barnard's scientists. I must speak to them. It's what I came for. Gart will put out the ramp.
You people of Earth, you women and men of science, you are here from all over your world, Europe, Asia, representing many nations, many ideas. I am leaving soon. Forgive me if I speak bluntly. The universe grows smaller every day. Where I come from, we believe that the inhabitants must take care of their planet. They must not overconsume or be wasteful, so that some parts of the planet suffer at the expense of others. This does not mean you giving up any freedom, except the freedom to act irresponsibly. This is the message that I ask you to take back when you return to your native lands. Tell your people and your governments that we have created a race of robots whose function it is to patrol the planets in spaceships to ensure that each planet will survive in the way it should without being destroyed by pollution. At the first sign of deviation, they will act automatically. Nothing you have here on Earth can stop them. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. Your choice is simple. Use your resources wisely or perish. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you. God Berengar. Remember?
I'll remember, Mr. Rock.
And as they seen him come, so did they see him depart. And the people of the earth pondered upon the warning.